The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If a believer later renounces his faith, does he still have eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We are currently taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. In fact, if you've got a question that's keeping you up at night, I hope you'll send it to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. In addition to all this, I have some good news for you. Our National Bible Conference is getting close, and we get excited around this time of year because we are all so looking forward to seeing you there. That's right, you. You can find out all you need to know about the National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org and click on Events. Now it's time for today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean Lazar.
And
I'm Bob Wilkin.
I'm with Bob Wilkin. Bob Wilkin. Here we are to answer some questions. Here is one from Andre, and Andre asks, I was having a conversation with a Christian on Instagram, and he seems to believe that salvation is by works, citing Matthew 3 to support his claims. He encouraged me to read it, confident that it disagreed with my beliefs. Can you please explain Matthew 3 to me? So Matthew 3, that's a pretty big passage. It's a whole chapter, and I'm not quite sure what the person on Instagram was seeing in that chapter that might show salvation by works, except this is where John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness to Israel, calling them to repent. Verse 2, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in verse 8, he calls them to bear fruits worthy of repentance. There's a warning that if they don't repent, you know, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And I suppose, I guess, maybe the person is thinking that preaching is, John is laying out the condition on how to be born again.
Right, which is wrong.
Right, yeah, yeah.
First of all, you mentioned about the axe being ready to chop.
Yeah.
That's talking about 70 AD.
Yeah,
that's,
this is when the Jerusalem was going to be destroyed by the Romans. And John the Baptist, I don't know if he knows this, but that's definitely what he's warning about. And Jesus definitely warned about it.
Right.
So, yeah, if they didn't repent, God was going to judge Israel and they were going to be destroyed. And that's what happened.
It wasn't anything about individuals being sent to the lake of fire or being sent to Sheol or Hades.
No, this isn't. Yeah, this is temporal judgment.
The same thing with repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Messiah. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They both gave that message. They were both calling for the nation to repent so that the kingdom would come for that generation. But if it would not repent and believe, it had to be both repentance and faith. If they didn't do those things, then the nation was going to be destroyed. Remember in Luke 13:3-5, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Right.
Well, he was talking about physical death. The likewise referred to the people who died when the tower fell, or the people whose blood was mingled with sacrifices. And the idea was that in 70 AD, Israel was kicked out of the land and the temple was destroyed. And so what this is saying is there had to be national faith and national repentance for the kingdom to come. And that's what we're going to get at the end of the tribulation. By the way, how many times do you see the words everlasting life in Matthew 3? That would be zero. How about salvation? Do you even see that anywhere?
Let me see if I can take the position of the person on Instagram. Wouldn't you agree that when you die, what is salvation? Where are you going to spend eternity?
Well, it depends. Salvation means a lot of things.
Right, but where are you going to spend eternity? In the kingdom, right?
In the kingdom, yeah.
And so how do you get into the kingdom?
By faith in Messiah.
Except John the Baptist says you need to repent to get into the kingdom.
Okay, good point. But this isn't talking individual. This is talking national. We're not a nation. The church is not a nation.
So whether or not we get into the kingdom depends upon what all of us do then, right? And all of us need to repent.
No, let's put it this way. When you get into the kingdom and when I get into the kingdom depends on Israel.
All right, so we can't get into the kingdom until a further condition other than faith is met. Someone needs to repent, then we can get into the kingdom.
We're guaranteed we're going to be in the kingdom. But when?
So it's a timing issue.
Right.
Then.
In other words, we're not going to get into the kingdom until Israel is a believing and repentant nation.
Okay.
And so if Israel were to be a believing and repenting nation, let's say 10 years from now, then we'd be in the kingdom in 10 years.
Yeah.
But based on other scripture, we know there has to be the time of Jacob's trouble, which is also called the tribulation and the great tribulation. It's a 7-year time period before Christ's second coming.
Right.
Well, actually wrapped around Christ's second coming, because he comes, he raptures us to himself, then he keeps on coming at the end of the 7 years and overthrows Israel's enemies and saves Israel, and then we go in the kingdom. So in answer to your question, yes, we are not getting into the kingdom simply by our own faith in Christ.
Mm.
We're getting into the kingdom by Israel coming to faith and being in fellowship with Messiah. That has to precede us coming into the kingdom. You see, being born again and being in the kingdom aren't the same.
Right. So when you believe, and it's only by believing, you get born again, you get everlasting life, you're justified, you're placed in the body of Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, etc. There's about 40
right.
things. And when you die, you go to heaven. And that's not conditioned upon anything else. If you believe, that's going to be true of you. But enjoying the kingdom, that depends upon some prophetic events happening, one of which is this national repentance.
Right. But also, you mentioned when we die, you go to heaven. Well, is heaven the kingdom?
Well, it's the kingdom of heaven, right? That's where is that where the kingdom is right now? Is that where you go?
No. The kingdom of heaven means the kingdom that comes from heaven.
Okay.
It's like when we lay up treasure in heaven,
yeah.
it's waiting for us there, but we're not going to get it there. We're going to get it on earth millennial earth and the new earth.
Yeah.
And so heaven is the source of the kingdom.
Yeah.
But the kingdom is going to be on the millennial earth and then the new earth. It's kind of complicated, Andre, but if I wanted, Sean, let's use your example. Let's say I wanted to be promoting works salvation.
Yeah.
Well, what I would do is I would take verses that talk about works and salvation in the same verse, like Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
And I'd take other verses like that, and I'd take them out of context, and I'd say, see, it says right here, work out your salvation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick a verse like this. If you had the top 100 work salvation verses, Matthew 3 wouldn't even be in the list. So you could argue that there was one condition of everlasting life for Israel and another condition for the church.
Right.
But, of course, the issue here isn't everlasting life. The issue is entering the kingdom.
Right.
The issue for Israel is they need to be a repentant nation and a believing nation. John 1:11, he came to his own received him not.
Mm-hmm.
He says in Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing.
Yeah.
So there's lots of verses like that. But anyway, this wouldn't be one of my top work salvation verses, but even if you put it somewhere in there, it would be nice if you were trying to promote this doctrine, if you at least saw the word salvation or everlasting life or something like that. And it'd also be nice if you saw something that was generic, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whoever believes in him. Here, John the Baptist isn't talking to us. He's talking to first century Jews.
Okay, well, Andre, there you go.
And I remember his name, you know why?
Why?
Because of Andre the Giant.
Because, great wrestler and actor.
He was.
Not an Oscar-winning actor, but memorable.
He should have gotten an Oscar for The Princess Bride. That was phenomenal.
This is a question from Brian. He says, I have a cousin who was raised in a Christian home. He attended Christian high school, graduated from UNT, was planning on going to seminary, but then when he and his cousin started reading Bart Ehrman, he now denies the existence of God. My cousin claims he really used to believe, but now he doesn't. Do you think he was never converted? How can he say he is still saved or have eternal life when now he denies the very existence of God?
Okay, yes. The answer to the question would be, if he ever believed, then even as someone who no longer believes, even as someone who is now an atheist or agnostic, yes, he'd still be born again.
Yeah.
But Brian didn't give quite enough information to say that at one point he believed in the free gift of everlasting life.
Right.
So it's not crystal clear. But let me give you a better example. A friend of mine is a pastor. He led his children to faith in Christ when they were young. They were involved in Awana. They were very active in the church and active in the faith. One of his sons went off to college and along the way lost his faith. I'm not sure all the details.
Yeah.
But today his son is an atheist.
Yeah.
His son was, and I've shared this on the air before, was in a conversation with an Orthodox person. And the Orthodox person said, well, you know, the scriptures are clear that we can lose everlasting life if we're not faithful.
Yeah.
And this man who's an atheist said, you don't even know the Bible. You're such a hypocrite. He says, the Bible's real clear. Whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life and will never perish.
Yeah.
And he said, if that's true, then I'm going to be in heaven forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't believe it, but you don't either.
Right.
You're not believing your own scriptures.
Right.
Because he says the scriptures are clear that salvation's a free gift. So, in answer to his question, yeah, this guy could be. And by the way, doesn't this give a lot of accountability to Bart Ehrman? Imagine how many people he's misled.
Yeah.
And Bart Ehrman might be a believer himself.
Right.
He was in the past, evangelical before he went to get his doctoral work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He might have believed in the past. Basically, the effect of your faith in the past cannot be erased by anything you do in the present. You know, it's when you believe in Jesus, you're born again, and that has a permanent result. But it's possible for people to change their minds. We would never say, if someone changed their mind, let's say Thomas Sowell, one of my favorite economists, he was a Marxist, then he became a capitalist. He would never say, oh, I was never really a Marxist to begin with. No, he changed his mind. And that doesn't negate what you believed prior. In the same way, someone who's believed in Jesus can later change their mind and stop believing, but that doesn't negate the fact that they believed before.
Amen.
Well, thanks for the question, Brian and Andre. Radio@faithalone.org is where you can send your questions to us. Send us those questions so that we have material for the program.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about assurance in John's writings, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.